Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Crypto Sparta, the podcast with Brian and Daniel, and we got a special guest, Vinny. As usual, we're going to dive into the markets right away.
Yeah, so welcome. The markets have taken a turn, a nice little dip during Thanksgiving.
Some Black Friday sales for everybody.
Yeah, but so Bitcoin has basically dropped from 60 down to 53. But in this past hour, there's a nice little 5% candle, a green candle for Bitcoin right now. So it's at like 56. And Ethereum has been, same with Ethereum, it was at 4,500 and it dipped to like 4,000. And now there's a nice little hour candle, 3% candle, so it's like up to 4,300 right now. And yeah, so like
dude, don't worry, it's just people selling crypto for Christmas presents.
Yeah, and then the greed, it's stuff, funny, you know? Yeah, so we talked about it last week, how we predicted a dip and how people were going to sell for tax purposes and Black Friday gifts because of Thanksgiving in the U.S. And then that happened on Friday. But on top of that, we also got news that there was a new like COVID variant in South Africa. And that kind of like tanked the market too. So, but right now, I think it's like, and it's funny too, because we're at like 54,000, 53,000, and ETH has been around 40,000, which is pretty strong. And the fear index and the greed in, or the fear greed index for both Bitcoin and Ethereum is like at an all time low since like 2000 or September 2021, which is like the last dip. But if you zoom out, it's just a slow climb, slow rise, just higher lows basically.
So, I mean, the fear is high, but it seems unfounded where people are like, what, you think the bull run is over? Like, no.
Nah. You just like, didn't start it, fam.
But, like, when's alt season? It's like, dude, alts are pretty...
I mean, we talked about this last week, too, where it's like certain things are popping off. And there's a funny tweet where the metaverse... And Haska tweeted Sand and Gala and or Mana. And those are like 30x and 10x since last month.
Mana, yeah. I mean, and there was the old Barry Silbert one from like 2018. Like,
there's a whole bunch of sales.
Companies are going crazy.
Yeah, there's land sales. There's a land that just got sold for like 2.4 million. And
Decentraland?
Decentraland. No, Axies and Axies. Yeah. But then this past Thursday, CNBC had a crypto hour special, like diving into, you know, crypto markets, and they had all these like CNBC people that they talk about crypto, like Melton Demers and other people. And it was funny because Haska was saying, and I was totally it has like the meme of like the parabola of like, you know, left side of the curve, right side of the curve, yeah, in the middle. Yeah, yeah. And I was total middle side of the curve where it's like, no, you can't just buy the top three coins in CoinGecko metaverse section, call it a thesis and expect it to do well because Facebook changed its name to Meta.
Yeah.
And I was that was my like thought process. And the right side of the curve is like the giga brains, and that like we simply submit to the narrative. And then the left side of the curve is like hee hee sand.
Sand. Yeah.
And so if you're on the left and right
point, they're just through the roof. It's
you're 10x and 7x since, you know, the past 30 days.
A few months ago. I mean, that was on the dip though. Everyone tries to like look back and be like, we could have gotten in and we would have been geniuses. And it's like, a lot of people were scared to put their money in when the dip was on, even if it was crawling back up to like towards all-time highs. Like,
well, yeah, the fear index, I think it's a very good indicator of like the volume.
It really is. The fear index, and then for all those other episodes, I was harping on the funding for what it costs to borrow if you want a short or if you want a long.
Yeah.
And like, there's like other indicators that like you can look at that are kind of clear, but it's interesting how people are just like, okay, next time I get euphoric, I'm gonna like sell.
And this kind of like transfers into like scam coins, because we did our like rug pulls or Ponzi's.
Because S-Dog. So because, I bought it about like 3,000. And then I found that I think the math was like, I got like, because it was like super high APY, but the math turned out that if it's only for 7 days, I got like 20% extra coins, I think, or something.
Yeah. So
in a few days.
Kind of going off.
I put in barely anything.
Yeah.
And then what happened was the buyback of all of the treasuries that it was backed by got eaten up by basically three sellers that had an algorithm created by bots.
Insider. Well, they said they tried to prevent bots. And then so they created their own DEX instead of having people buy back on Trader Joe, which was a question mark. You know, like a kind of like you raise your eyebrow type of thing is like, so I think last week
you need to explain in like English for Vinny, because that was like the whole thing. It's like,
so I'll try to start from the beginning. I'll recap from what we did last week.
I told him a bit about S-Dog.
So we broke down S-Dog on the podcast. We did a screen share, and like it was basically an ohm fork, but for a meme coin. And it was a very elaborate way of launching a meme coin where they were letting people buy back or like buy and then stake for an insane amount of APY. And then after a couple of days, you know, you can stop minting. And then, you know, during this time, they'll stop minting. You can destake and then be prepared to, they'll do a massive buyback. And this is kind of similar. This reminds me to like the Urzel situation, where it's like a launch of a product, and then everybody's trying to get in to stake and get the huge APY. So people are trying to you know sell their coins for the buyback, so they can sell their S-Dog and get MIMS back, which is the stable coin. And so, you know, it was like Thursday, you know, Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
it was very weird timing. And so everyone thought they were going to do the buyback swap on Trader Joe, which is a lot more legit because it's their Avalanche's main DEX or centralized or decentralized exchange. But they created, so literally like 4 hours before, they created their own Snow, because it's backed by Snowbank, that own fork, and they created their own DEX, and they were
for the buyback, right?
For the buyback. Like, we're gonna find our own network to be able
we're gonna create our own DEX, because we're afraid of these our bots, and we're gonna make it very we're gonna make it very complicated for bots to attack the swap,
blah blah blah.
Sure
they yeah do. And so everyone, so apparently if you had your slippage at like 100%, you maybe could have gotten a good return. But it was basically the first like five wallets got 10 million or 5 million or whatnot.
So and the first wallet, so I had like a fraction of a Snow Dog.
But you didn't like realize that you had to manually swap. You thought you unstaked?
I unstaked and I was going to manually swap if the price went up. And I was like, let's see if the dust clears and if everybody holds. Yeah. Like, I mean, I know some people are going to take profits, but maybe the price will end up higher than before.
And it was and a clear...
nuked right.
It was a clear buy the new... or sell the news, or like, what's that? On the way up, where it's like you sell the news, where it's like, it's too much hype. They can't back it up.
Stinky Kubert was being like, ha ha ha, you like you sold Snowdog before the buyback. What are you
doing? Well, because it was climbing. It was climbing. So I invested in Snowbank just to like, I was like, S-Dog is too risky. I'll like third degree, you know, third branch away. S-Bank was
supposed to be legit.
And S-Bank, yeah. And so it was like, you're getting, you know, 400,000 APY. And so I put like, you know, $400 in.
Can you put up that Twitter video of it, of the guy talking?
Just a sec. I don't know if I saved it.
I mean, the crazy thing that like, which is sad, where it's like, okay, guys, not financial advice. Somebody actually killed themselves over that stuff.
It's like crazy. Because people were so invested in Snowbank, and we like looked at what they're backed by, and it was like very legit stuff, like MIM, Spell, Avalanche. Yeah.
But the first guy was like, the first guy got like 187 token sale.
The guy made 10 million. Off of his S stock.
187 tokens at like what, 55,000 per token?
Yeah. So they promised 40 million and then the in price, buybacks.
So they did the buyback and the burn and the token supply decreased. But still the tokens that I had, like the fractions of the tokens that I'd bought at like 3,000 were basically then like nuked into the ground. And now I think that they're like 70 cents a token.
Yeah. Like, and 3,000 no, Snowbank dropped. I was trying to
do the math with Vinny where it was like, is that like a 99.4 or 0.3 like percentage decrease?
I had to literally, it was like pulling up and I didn't realize that Snowbank was going to be affected. And so I was kind of lackadaisical with my Snowbank. But I was like slowly watching it and I was like, oh, it's tanking right now too, because that stock failed and I didn't think it was going to tank that much, but it like people were distrusted by S-Dog and then they sold their Snowbank. So I got out. I was able, I mean, I had 50% loss, but it got so bad where I know on this podcast we talk about the risk-free value of like what it's backed by. So if it goes below a certain value, that's the minimum. It happens. And then the protocol will start printing money. So it went from 2,400 down to 700. And the risk-free value of that protocol was like 600. So it was very close. And, you know, there were some people that like were planning, even after the Snowbank debacle, like they're planning to sticking with Snowbank, which was super risky, but then they got removed by Trader Joe.
That was what I was gonna say. And then people talking about it with like the Trader Joe stuff where they made their own decks and then now they get delisted. It's almost like it's like the Scarlet Letter or something.
Yeah, Scarlet Letter for sure.
Delisted from the decentralized. It's not even a centralized exchange. It's a decentralized exchange.
Yeah, the main decentralized exchange on Avalanche. But there's like some talks where it's like people on Avalanche were promoting it too. So maybe they had some insider information. So I don't know. That whole thing is sketchy, but.
No, and then I mean, you should play the Twitter thing that I had sent. And then basically this one guy was talking about how this is why things need to be regulated. And like, I'm contacting the FBI and the international Interpol or whatever, because like they stole your stuff. And then I had WhatsApped it to you, but I mean, the idea was the one guy was just like talking shit, being like, go back to like trading Tesla on Robinhood and getting rug pulled by people that own
the
world's economy or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Getting front run on Robinhood if you're not about rug pulls. Just a sec.
Yeah. But it could segue a bit into like what I wanted Vinny to discuss a little bit, where he's like, works in, you know, like kind of knows about the macro stuff that happens with crypto and in different countries, and in how like some countries you can't, like, the access to get to crypto or the fees are prohibitive. And
yeah, so what's it like?
Yeah,
I mean, I can tell you only from, like, my perspective here is in Europe. I'm not sure it's totally different from Brazil, but I guess, like, the freer the country, I think the easier they make it somehow to operate in this market, even though regulations coming, but and crypto is, they say it's an alternative for inflation, right? It's the solution in a sense, let's put it that way. But I'd say it's easier to buy crypto in North America and Brazil than in some countries in Latin America. Like, I can't imagine, for instance, how hard it would be to buy in Venezuela and so on.
No, in Argentina.
Yeah, even Argentina, where they have like a, so a lot of countries, they impose currency controls. And I think that's valid, really? Even for crypto, you know. And the reality is, like, when a country has like a huge problem with inflation, such as Argentina or Venezuela, even worse, they try to control as much as they can, because in a way or another, when you're like investing in crypto, first you have to put some dollars, right?
Yeah. And
that's like leaving the country.
And then, yeah, in Argentina, they don't allow you, they monitor the purchases of dollars. And they don't let you put all your money into dollars. They only let you buy so many a month.
Yeah, so that poses an issue for sure. Because you have to put your fiat into, you have to transfer into crypto. If they make that process really hard, then you can't really expose yourself to crypto. And yeah, I didn't even realize how, you know, sometimes it's like difficult for, in Europe even, sometimes with the banks, to set up a Coinbase account, even.
Yeah, that's kind of like, I mean, up to a few months ago, I could not set up a Coinbase account. Now it's kind of, it got a bit easier. But the thing that I see in Europe is like, this is also one of the most advanced, somewhat, regulations, whether you like regulations or not, that's a totally different issue. But it's like one of the cultures that goes, like, GDPR is in Europe for quite some time. They try to pursue like legal cases against tech companies way more often than the US and so on and so forth.
Over here, you got to do the accept for all cookies. Because they, like, tell all the website companies, you know, there's certain,
they sell your data.
Yeah.
And then they're, it's only allowed to be stored in the European mainland. It's caused like a tremendous infrastructure issue for a lot of the companies, because you're not allowed to have sensitive corporate data held offshore. So then, like, you have to have servers in EU.
And a lot of things like that. So the way you see it, man, like, probably something's going to come from Europe that, in terms of regulation, probably way sooner than in other countries, that, I don't know, it's not going to dictate, but it might show a roadmap for what other countries are going to do.
Well, the U.S. is on a timeline. I don't know if we discussed this on the podcast, but they passed the infrastructure bill and they put that amendment in there. I know we talked about the amendment before, where, you know, it's kind of unreasonable law for node validators on Ethereum and Bitcoin. But, you know, US is on a timeline where it's like 2024, that's when that crypto law comes into effect. And so there's
the laws that are like going to come into law in the future. And I mean, it's incredibly prohibitive. And I mean, I had gone to
Lisbon. It's impossible to enforce.
There's so many people moving to Lisbon, or a lot of the stuff, it's like you're going to have to like use VPNs or like geotag yourself in not America. but the legal repercussions could be big if they try to just headhunt. And then they were talking about how the Build Back Better has way more resources for IRS stuff. And I mean, on crypto Twitter, there's all the memes and jokes where it's like, oh, how's your trading going? It's like, not today, Fed.
Yeah. Nancy Pelosi.
What is the timeline exactly?
So what they have is that there's this new law where if you run a node which verifies information,
transaction,
if you do certain transactions, you're labeled as a broker.
Yeah.
And then you have to follow certain legal, like you have to report.
You have to provide KYC information.
It's like if I'm a developer in my house, you know, I'm like a dad who's a developer.
Yeah.
I would have to do like thousands of dollars to register legally with the, it's really unenforceable. I'm pretty sure it's like the traditional finance industry trying to screw crypto, because it's like, it's so punitive and poorly written.
But they can't enforce it. It's so vague. And how
they just shoved it through with the Build Better back with all the rest of the, like, I mean, it was like 3,000 pages that nobody read that lobbyists had written. Like,
yeah,
well, people read it and they try to do an amendment, yeah, but it never passed.
They tried to do a last minute, but it had already gotten like delayed and disrupted. And
there's a couple senators there.
There's the Hillary Clinton flood too. You've been seeing that?
Yeah. Where she's like, this is a way for criminals to manipulate, or Russia to manipulate.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It just sounds ridiculous. And I saw somebody on the timeline being like, honestly, this is a bit bullish, to be real. Like Hillary Clinton saying that crypto's bad for the government, and that
she's coming out of her hole in Nantucket or something.
Yeah, like, the Trump people are like,
But even Trump is against crypto. Like he is for like the U.S. dollar. He wants the U.S. dollar to be number one. So he wasn't really into crypto, anyways. Like.
Well, one of the interesting things I wanted to talk with Vinny about on here was just like the idea where people are talking about prices in the US and inflation, but like in Brazil, they've like consistently dealt with inflation. And then, I mean, there are other countries now going through inflation. And like, I think like, when are the traditional people going to accept crypto as a store of value?
It's going to take some time.
Yeah,
definitely. But regarding, let's just go back to the other topic, because one thing, they're going to pressure for like punitive regulation. But I see kind of a bright side in the end, that crypto nowadays is something that a lot of even large corporations are talking about. So there is going to be a lot of money pushed into crypto, even independent projects and so on.
Here's so that might be... Sure.
Yeah,
that might be a good like counterforce, you know, like a balance of powers against regular like punitive things. But going back, what was the question again?
Just in terms of inflation, where it's
What do you think is the crypto adoption? When is that going to happen?
Man, I'd say for a country like, let's say, underdeveloped country. Such as Brazil, Latin America in general, Asia. There's still a big mentality, especially among, like, I wouldn't call it even very old population, man, around 38 or something, that the store of value, and that's particularly true in Argentina, or countries that have, like, a very difficult economy in a sense, that the store of value is dollar. It's either dollar or put in a fixed income. So, I think like new generation are going to come up and replace that. But for countries that been through inflation a lot, it's kind of like the best investment in Brazil up to this point, if you ask for anything Brazilian, is going to be like, you have to buy real estate, because the inflation will not eat. So it's kind of a hard mentality, it's a difficult mentality in a sense.
So what do you, like, what's preventing Brazil from, like, playing in El Salvador, right? Is it just, like, the leader, the guy in charge?
The interesting thing to me that I argued with him about was, like, for instance, in Colombia, the drug dealers deal in crypto, and they contribute to the politicians. So I think Colombia is safe from regulation. And no, I don't want to disparage Colombia or anything, but yeah, not political advice, not legal advice, not financial advice.
Wild Wild West is in Colombia.
Yeah, I mean, well, Medellin is supposed to be like the Silicon Valley of South America. And I mean, there's like, eventually some of this stuff is technology and business where it's like Miami is booming because if you don't tax it, it's going to go to Miami. It's not going to be in Silicon Valley. Nightmare headaches and then plus regulations and then all the COVID restrictions. I was telling you, people go to Dubai, they go to Lisbon. And I think that in South America, it's going to be like a race to the bottom where at some point you just need these crypto billionaires to start greasing some politicians' palms. Like Sam Bankman-Fried gave like how many millions to Joe Biden?
Like Bahamas,
was it 600 million?
Populating, I don't know how much he
did. Yeah, now he's moving the Bahamas.
But he's in the Bahamas. There's some crypto guys in Bahamas now.
Like, you know, Sam Bankman-Fried from Solana?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you want to just give an update on what happened? Because I feel like we need to do little Sam Bankman-Fried updates. Because I think we've gone over and over like who he is, but like just updating how the dude is taking over the world, literally.
I think he's opening, you know, FTX locations in Bahamas.
Yeah, and just offshore locations. But he bought the naming rights to the Miami Heat Stadium in Florida.
Also the Cal Berkeley College Stadium in San Francisco. Cal
Berkeley College Stadium. And then he got Gisele Bündchen. And Tom Brady together.
And Steph Curry. $60 million
in 7 years or something.
And Steph Curry. Like FTX, yeah. He like rebranded Blockfolio just to be FTX. And so it's basically like as far as like marketing, it's like between crypto.com and that Matt Damon commercial. And then FTX, like they're fighting for like US dominance, and like Coinbase is like kind of sprinkling it in there with like NBA partnerships and like trying to like put their name on the goalpost or something.
I mean, if they release their NFT, and I think each place is trying to do their like own limited set of NFTs, but like it's so weird that OpenSea, I mean, when is it gonna
well
die?
CRO is, I mean, crypto.com has been popping off. It's a top 10 coin now. And so this past week, and, you know, shout out to Koski. He's like, during Thanksgiving weekend, during football, like I saw that Matt Damon commercial like 10 times. And so that makes me bullish on, you know, crypto.com.
I haven't seen it. Yeah, I'm
It's just a basic. It's just Matt Damon.
Look, he spent money.
Martian vibes, like where it's like he's just like in the future walking through these videos of different things, and it's very like Martian vibes with Matt Damon, and he's just like, this is the future. We are closing in on the future, and this is FTX. This is crypto. This is a crypto.com. So this is like FTX fighting with, you know, crypto.com for, you know, marketing supremacy. And then Coinbase is trying to scribble. Because like crypto.com, on top of the Staples naming rights, they also have the advertisement on the Philadelphia jerseys. So they have their logo on the Philadelphia jerseys.
The marketing spend is getting insane.
Well, their budget is limitless in crypto.
When I was flying to Lisbon, I think I might have said it on the other podcast, but I saw it wasn't even a billboard. It was like walling that had like Floki Inu. Like buy Floki Inu.
Yeah, in Amsterdam. They've been on buses and stuff.
They have it everywhere. Like these random shit coins. I'm like,
crypto.com is 14 on the, you know, top market cap list. And that, I mean, honestly, that's more bullish than Coinbase, honestly. Their stock has been tanking. So it's like, it's also like two different ways to look at it too, where it's like, you can go the IPO route, where I know on Up Only, Ari Paul has been talking about how like they're not like the trading experience on Coinbase, there's all these like misinformation, like they're not investing in the UI or the UX of Coinbase. Like even if you're trading, they'll say like, oh, we need to verify your ID, but like without verifying your ID, you're able to trade. Their user experience is not that great because they're not investing in their user experience.
People are still outraged that Phantom isn't on Coinbase.
Well, the thing about Coinbase is you got to grease the wheels, right?
Yeah. And then I was doing like some of the stuff, like some of the metrics. If you do TPS, the transactions per second for Solana, AVAX, Ethereum, and Phantom, like Phantom is like better. Like it still has never made sense. And like that was the first altcoin I ever bought after New Year's so that it would be this year's taxes. And I bought Phantom at 6 cents and it was like, this is going to be huge, man. They're working with Afghanistan. Like
it's like faster than AVAX.
The marketing doesn't hit people. Yeah, it's faster than AVAX.
Yeah, cheaper than AVAX too.
Cheaper than AVAX. Cheaper, by far cheaper than Ethereum then. And then it's like, why? If you look at the market caps, so I was telling Vinny, Phantom to 13 end of year. And he was like, man, that's a couple weeks away. And I was like, but it doesn't make sense. It should be there. But
no, I think honestly, it's very, it's, they like the most.
And it blows my mind. Koski and Anoop, there's a full NFT ecosystem on Phantom that I have no clue about. But there are people that are Phantom rich spending Phantom. It's so weird when you step into like Solana NFTs or Phantom NFTs, you're like, this is a different reality I would never even knew existed.
Yeah, I think it's like, I think it's like a little too big brain for normies. Like it needs to be on Coinbase. It needs to be on Coinbase because it's on crypto.com. It's on KuCoin.
Did we talk about the Wolf game last week?
No, but that's also something to talk about. Well, that's, it's been happening.
Or did we just talk about it personally? Because I've been seeing the Wolf game. You got to explain it then briefly.
I don't even know. I am not even good at explaining this. Like they talk about Wolf. So this has been in our Crypto Sparta Telegram.
the Crypto Sparta chat's been blowing up about the Wolf.
And it's just been like,
you're looking shed at the wolf Ethereum. Yeah.
Like you shed wool, you have a wolf, you gain like 25,000 wolf a day. Like, it's above my head.
I was telling him about it because I was reading through what they wrote in the chat and I was like, so this guy, instead of, you know, like letting them farm, he's been shearing the wool to sell for more sheep.
And then you could steal a wolf.
He's like,
steal a wolf.
He's like, this is a good Ponzi. Like, this is a good Ponzi. And I'm like, dude, this guy's making,
like,
shout out Michael. What did he make? 50K? He's making 10K a day just shearing sheep in an NFT game on Ethereum and selling the wool for money. $50,000. And he's like, yeah. And it sounds so dumb. I was telling Vinny as well, where it's just like.
But it's not for like normies.
Some of the phrases are so
dumb. You gotta get whitelisted.
Like, I've made $10,000 a day shearing wool. And then at the end of the day, you know, I'm not even using the wool to buy more sheep, but I still own the sheep and I have one wolf.
It's funny because.
And then they're like, it's a generation one wolf. So it produces this much wool because it goes and steals the other sheep.
Yeah. So
and this, like, this poses sounds so dumb.
This poses like another question where it's like, we are getting into like advancements in different careers and stuff. And I was talking about this with my mom where it was like, if you're a crypto trader just sitting around like, you know, doing this stuff, like you don't gain respect of society, right? Where it's like you're not a doctor, you're not like a VP of a president. Like nowadays it's like cash rules everything around.
I don't need this stereotype. Sounds like some guilt. I don't know.
I think it's a reflection of old school institutional where it's like nowadays there's YouTube creators, there's like content creators, people want to be TikTok people, they want to be like YouTubers. Like, it's, I don't know, I am for the school of thought where it's like it doesn't matter what you do, you're making money, right?
I had this discussion with Ben. And I was like, man, like I made some good money off Doge and I should have just held it. And I would have been rich. And he's like, that's not the way you want to make the money. Like, yeah, all crypto wealth isn't made
equal. So how should I make my money? Like,
I was like, Brian, and seriously, I've told you about this, but I mean, if it's not, it's news to you, you know, whatever. You're promoted, Brian. You're a senior consultant now. You're a senior
consultant. I'm chief knowledge officer.
Man, you know, some of our clients are consultants. Renee is a consultant. And he said, you know, I owe Brian and he has very serious knowledge. And I don't know what you guys did to, you know, learn this stuff. Vinny was like, I was bored during the pandemic and I tried to pick up some programming. And I was like, you know what? There is some value in the 2 years of just sitting around on Twitter for hours a day that I spent.
I actually learned something. Pandemic is,
and you picked it up like a duck to water. Honestly, you didn't even take as much time, but you're just in as deep. And Renee is like, yeah, you're like a consultant because you guys understand. And there was that one tweet where it was like, if you really want to be a good trader, before you do anything, learn the culture, learn the characters. I was just reading this week why someone was like, dude, like Suzu and Three Arrows Capital and CMS and like these big VCs, they're not good for the whatever, you know,
they're promoting whatever they invest in.
He's like, you know, don't trust them. It's like, don't trust them. If you had just bought what Suzu and Sam Bankman,
if you bought Avalanche at $3,
very simple, yeah, Solana at $3, sell me all you can and fuck off. AVAX at 15, or Suzu announcing that he's an AVAX or saying he likes, I think that they had an initial investment announcement with Trader Joe as well. If you just follow these rich people,
it's, you could 100x, like, it's crazy. Well,
and that's what Sam Alameda had said. That was his thesis, was that Elon Musk is tweeting about Dogecoin. What are the odds he keeps tweeting about Dogecoin? I'm not selling. And then he added into his position sub a penny. By millions.
But that was like during the Elon Musk time where the top was like 63 cents and he sold. Yeah,
that's when he sold. And he was like, it felt like the top.
Back in January of 2021.
When he first had started saying stuff about Doge.
So like, I don't know, cash rules everything around me. Cream. Wu-Tang, where it's like
Wu-Tang.
Yeah, so static, like, I don't know. Like,
no, but the thing is, Brian, I would say, you know, is a different thing. You know, you can say that, but Brian, you can tell your mom you're a senior consultant at a crypto consultancy firm. We put that on your business cards.
When
how
C-suite.
Long ago from Bitcoin
C-suite.
Miami?
Yeah, when C-suite.
Yeah, when C-suite, when Lambo.
Yeah, when Lambo.
Yeah, when secretaries.
No, but I mean, I'm in the same boat as you, but it just poses the question. And
I'll
as
say
far
this,
as
my mom can privately get upset with me all the time, but publicly, I have a crypto consultancy company.
Well, so, when, the Cartier,
mom,
when the
you know,
Cartier,
you can tell your
comes,
friends as much as you criticize me personally.
When the Cartier comes on Christmas,
yeah,
time.
You're a founder. You're a podcast founder. You're a thought leader. What are the consultants?
Yeah, you're a thought leader.
I was telling him about
you're like a futurist.
I was telling him about the LinkedIn meme where it's like two pictures of the same dude. And on the one side, it's like creator, builder, manager, you know, like this, that, like, you know, like entrepreneurial minded, you know, like collectivist. And then it's the same picture, but on the other side, it's just unemployed.
Yeah, entrepreneur, where it's like on
crypto
a dating,
trader,
on a
podcaster.
Dating app, where it's like entrepreneur, like, idea builder, like, but you don't do anything.
No, and it's like the joke from some comedian where it's like, yeah, entrepreneur, you know, like, it's like, what do you actually do? Is like, man, I do like personal training, like Monday through Thursday, and then I like DJ on the weekends.
He's a musician.
Yeah, but I got some big ideas.
Yeah,
I got this DJ thing, you know, we're doing our like branded protein or something like.
Well, that was good discussion. I don't know.
Should we just hit the shills?
Yeah, dude.
I didn't even prepare much. I gotta like take a peek because it's a bit murky.
Well, everything is down, so anything you put in right now is, if you put in a high market coin right now, it's gonna go up, I think, in the next 3 months. And like,
I have one, and it's like just kind of out of nowhere.
Well, we didn't even talk about people, like the MCC and the CCC
coins. Oh yeah, yeah, we can do that.
Where there's a whole. Maybe this will be our show segment, because
that can be the show. But I have another one. But you do this first, because I still didn't really ever do the due diligence properly. I just aped in, and I aped in like a minimal amount. But I think my CCC has tripled.
I don't think so.
It's so dumb where you're just like, if I just was more impulsive and
apish, I don't think it's CCC is tripled yet, but.
I got in super early.
It's kind of a wave right now.
Yeah. I just wanted to say one thing where it was like, the difference between like full-time crypto and full-time is like the one extra hour, or like the one quicker ape, or like you spend the extra hour on Twitter and like know a bit more. It's weird how like just effort, just plain effort, can actually just make you money.
Oh no. If you actually like if you set aside like 2 to 3 hours of like full dive research and like knew what to do, like, you know, looking at Dune analytics or like researching a certain company, like looking at their team, what the roadmap is. Like if you set aside like 2 hours a day,
like, made me think of,
you're like when exponentially like ahead of the curve.
Look at RVP team. Look at this old guy. Like, yeah. They've got an old, smart looking white dude who is from a university. Like,
what's that mean? Where it's like, his name is like, you are like up
on. His name's Yang.
Or no,
his name's Yang. I was going to send it to you because it was like, he's like, dude, that's kind of racist, man. He's like, he doesn't even speak English. He's like, I do speak English, but he thinks that the clients like it.
No. So back to what I was talking about. So we talked about like my shill. So MCC, CCC, these are like multi-chain capital or cross-chain capital. Multi-chain capital is on Ethereum. Cross-chain capital is on Avalanche. And these are, so we talk about all these own forks these past couple weeks and how, you know, not all Ohm forks are treated the same. Like as we talk about Ohm and we talk about Time, and then we see on the other hand Snowbank, and then so these you know, these coins, they invest in these different blockchains for you instead of you manually investing in each one, and they give you a return and they buy back the token. And they give you a return, I don't know how often it is, but they give you a return in that token based off the revenue, and they try to buy back the token and burn to increase the value. And so there's a couple of these chains that have gone out, you know, a couple of days ago. These are brand new chains. And Michael said he had a buddy that invested in MCC early, was ended up making like 20K a day on this. And this was like back in the early day.
Oh, dude, we need to chit chat with Mike more.
It 3X, but it dropped back down. And so right now it's like right back to its launch. And I don't know, the tokenomics seem kind of sketchy to me. So like where it's like, they farm all these different forks, and then they give you a percentage of that profit in their token, But people end up selling that token anyways, so it deflates that price. So the price is not really ever going up.
What I was telling Vinny was, I was like, he's thinking that everything's a Ponzi. And I tell him about S-Dog, I tell him about Wolf, and it's like, I'm just telling you about the Ponzi's, because they're the funnest things.
That's the Ponzi.
But I was like,
but do you think MCC
and I launch an MCC fork, and we tell people that we're going to farm, you know, like, we're going to get, like, one of those new NFTs and, like, farm, like, monkey bananas, like, coins on the Solana.
But it's a middleman. It's a middleman.
That's the whole thing is... And then this is what I was saying is, it's a structure where, hey man, so like, you know, I'm trying to build this business, and a lot of people ask if I can invest for them, and
I teach you how to invest in these forks.
No, buy my governance token in my MCC fork, and then Brian and I have like most of the tokens, and we control the DAO. It's a DAO in like the Seychelles, and I'm
that
like,
sounds like a Ponzi for doing us.
It's not me doing the scamming. It's just the DAO in the Seychelles that I own all the governance tokens to. It's like, that's a good Ponzi. That's a good Ponzi.
And you end up doing during Halloween. Yes. No, Black Friday, right?
Yeah.
You finish the Ponzi on Black Friday.
We just can't be doxxed. That's the whole thing, you know.
But we're already doxxed.
Yeah. And we were just talking about the S-Dog stuff. Like, like anonymous team of developers has proposed a certain, like.
Yeah, unaudited contract.
It was such an obvious rug. And I kind of, it's kind of like paying.
Going back to S-Dog, right? Or not MCC or CCC. Those aren't rugs yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Quotations. Yeah.
But like, there's the possibility, and you see it. Because I mean,
we were duped.
I wanted like to create a hedge fund because all these people had said, can I just give you money and you invest it for me?
I don't want that.
And I was just going to give it to like a GigaBrain, like a Noop or somebody, and just be like, can you just farm this in some degen, whatever levels?
20% return.
Yeah. 20% is fine. And then I met some dude at Solana being like, I get 90% on USDT. You just got to know how to.
I was looking in the Anchor protocol on Luna. That must be that. That might be a thing where you can get like 160% APY.
It's like zero risk. And then
there's risk.
Unless the dollar coins fall apart. I'm like,
there's a risk on the
dollar coins fall apart. Like the world is going to be reorganized.
If stable coins go below 80%, then you're screwed. But but they're called stable coins. Well, it's like, it's supposed to be pulled for a dollar, but you can loop it's how many times and get, you know, over 100% APY. But if that stable coin goes under 80%, then you get liquidated. Under 80 cents.
He's like worked with banks before, and I was like, what if we can get them like 18% with like almost zero risks? And he's like, what's the risk of like the dollar coin
you
like
can get
falling apart?
10%
like,
on Celsius.
Happens, we're really screwed.
Yeah.
8% on Celsius.
No, they increased it. Now it's at 10. Now it's on 10.
10%. And people just put their money in the stock market and then they think crypto is evil.
Well, they pay someone to put it in the stock market to get 10% returns.
They need to pay us to put it in the crypto market. It's like, that's what Renee is saying.
We're the bridge. We're the bridge. We're the bridge.
Yeah.
So back on topic, what's your show? I kind of showed MCC. What's your show?
It's Crabada. It's CRA on AVAX.
What the hell?
It's like a metaverse. Like, I don't really know. It's one of these things where I'm just like.
Candela? Candela?
Crabada. Crab. Like Crabadaba. I don't even know. Or Crabada. It's like, I just see certain people that I respect posting these things.
I don't even see it. CLA?
CRA. CRA. It's like Crabada. It's like the supposed, their people are like.
Oh, top 500.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a top 500 coin.
I just know certain people that are just like posting about
what
it.
What is it?
It's the AVAX like mana or sand, or I don't actually know. Like I haven't done, it's one of these things where sometimes I just get a gut feeling where I'm like, oh, the right people. Like certain signals where you're just like, I should have known better too. When certain people that aren't into crypto start asking me about dumb coins, I'm like, this is a signal to buy.
Honestly, all these new coins coming out.
That's a signal to sell. I'm sorry.
No, it's a signal to sell. Yeah, yeah.
Well, the thing is that these coins are like 2 weeks old.
That they know about 1929.
Yeah. These like Krabata is 2 weeks old, basically. And so, like, all these coins that are 2 weeks old, this reminds me back in March where you had all these new coins pop off and, like, people were trying to get in on the ground level. And so you definitely got to be careful with these coins for sure. But like right now, like the coins we listed, like they pop up a little bit and then they went back down. So they could be back down to when they started, or they could, you know, pop back up.
The other one, Anupid told me, and yeah, I didn't prepare properly for the shows, but I kind of like it when you're just off the cuff, like out of the gut.
This whole podcast is off the cuff right now.
Yeah. A noob had told me there was a big immutable X drop.
Really?
Get immutable X NFT that you like.
They even have a coin.
You hold to zero, but maybe these will be like, if this is the platform to take over, zero gas fees NFTs.
They do have a coin. It's top 150 right now.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it a long time back, didn't we?
Yeah, we talked about building on it, but not actually like buying the coin, like investing. Yeah,
Path was like a...
Well, he's an investor. He's a VC in it.
Huge in NFTs.
And he's the NFT.
Fungible Doge, yeah.
Definitely recommend listening to that most recent Crypto Pathic Up Only. He definitely dives in.
Did they start back up again? Like I was gonna.
Yeah, now they started back up again.
Ledger's back, or I mean, Kobe's
back. Yep.
Ah, okay, then it's like it's just not the same if it's just Ledger. It really is missing something.
No, yeah, but yeah. So Immutable X, they just launched a coin back in beginning of November, so it's fairly new. But
No, and yeah. Anup told me about a big money launch.
It might airdrop,
NFTs, I think that now it's getting to be like there's too much noise, and if you do something crappy, you're not going to get any attention.
No, there's definitely a lot of trash out there. You just got to sort it out for sure.
Yeah, I mean, but the Bored Apes stays floating.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if there's like cross-chain NFTs coming soon.
I mean, I'm just hoping for a bounce back right now. Like, things look pretty bleak. I think people are, like, the fear is all-time high.
Yeah, it almost feels like I hate to – it's not up only, but it's almost like I hate to think that, like, maybe pull something into stable coins and actually, like, follow the herd and take some profits before you're the last one out. Because it's going to be, like, 4 months of, like...
But what is there to take profits of, man? Like, right now, it's...
I know that you've, like, made a good chunk of money on
No, paper. I haven't, dude. I'm still down, like, 40%.
Overall?
Dude,
no.
Yeah.
Or just, like, in the short term?
No. Things have not recovered since all-time highs of March. Like, even though ETH has been in... Like, there's altcoins still, like, suffering a little bit.
Time in the market beats timing the market, because, I mean, the small phantom...
Time in the market beats time in the market.
Time in the market.
Oh.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's what I'm hoping for sure.
Maybe you just have time, and it's like, yeah, dude, time is really juicy. I went up from 0.1 to 0.3, and I'm like, oh, if it gets lower and you still have the high rewards, I should buy some more. Yeah.
I'm thinking of rotating.
Getting all into time, but I'm just like, I'm not going to fiddle with stuff and like actually, it's so complicated to move everything.
And no, especially with the gas fees.
It would probably take me legit. This is like a weird, and it's not, I'm not trying to be like flexing or anything, but I have different, like, and it's like almost like bags that aren't even worth unstaking and moving. It probably cost me like $3,000 to like move all of my Ethereum assets out of Ethereum into
dollars. Think about it. It's like $100 per transaction. You have 8 different coins on Ethereum. Staking
transactions cost even more to unstake your stake on Bancor.
Yeah. Yep. So yeah, gas is definitely high for sure. And so rotating is definitely hard.
I'm going to show Phantom too then. Because like, come on. Cheaper fees, faster transactions. Yeah. The only reason it's being held back is because they don't spend money on marketing and they just quietly sit in their corner and do good work. Undervalued. Yeah, it's always been undervalued.
I don't know how fork on there too. They got arguments, they got Spa on there.
Yeah, from 6 cents to 60, and then you just feel the price action go to 40, and you're just like, Phantom's lame. And then it shoots up to 3, and then now it's back down to 2, and you're like, the way that the pattern is for Phantom is it just shoots through the roof, and then it's like a 30% retrace, and you're like, this is lame. And it's like, what? Dude, it just like 10x'd, and you're upset it went down to a 6x? Like, this is not.
I think anything under 2 is really dopamine. Good right
like,
now.
You need to like get out of the crypto bubble. Like, this is awesome.
No, if you think about it, if you make 2 million this bull run, like 10% is 200,000. That's a pretty good living in stables.
Yeah.
So on that note, I think we'll close it for this episode.
Let's wrap it up. Peace.
Yep. So yeah, this has been another episode of the Crypto Spark Podcast, November 28th. Bye.
Mm-hmm.